I begin this morning with a personal prayer that I hope you'll take home for yourself through the rest of Lent. Help me to let go of my pride, to be humble in my penance. I want only to live the way you ask me to love the way you ask me to live. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us summarize the thread of the readings today. And I want to do that by saying, blessings. Let that sink in for a minute. Because our human brain automatically goes to all the negative and the bad, sad things we read and hear, which very quickly overpowers the blessings, sometimes just under the surface. So let's have a look. In the Genesis reading today, God invites Abram to walk before him and then promises him that he will be blameless. A blessing. He promises a son at 99 years old. Another blessing. God promises Abram to be the father of all nations, beginning with that first son at 99 years old. Another blessing. He promises that kings will be of Abraham's line for all the nations. A phenomenal blessing. Way back when God began his invitation to follow him, he proclaims a great covenant to benefit all peoples throughout the generations, all the way down to now. That translates to an amazing blessing for us. In today's psalm, God provides for the afflicted, the seekers, the criers, the poor, the hungry, an essential blessing. His promise of the continued covenant to all the faithful who praise, glory, bow down to him, again promising future generations with his, I got your back if you've got mine, kind of reciprocation. Blessing for all those who have faith. In Romans, the passage refers to the part of Abraham's story in recognition of being the father of all nations, all because of his unwavering faith. We then, in that same faith and commitment, are also invited to reckon with God in our own faith and righteousness because of the New Testament passion of Christ, a blessing for the asking. I'd like to challenge you to listen to the gospel passage reread in a way to make it more personal for you today. I'm going to reread it and substitute I and you in place of Peter and they. Can you risk replacing Peter with I in your life in response to the passage this morning? Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and I took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked me and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let you deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me. For you who want to save your life will lose it, and those who lose your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit you to gain the whole world and forfeit your life? Indeed, what can you give in return for your life? You who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of you the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So, a few questions for you to go back. Where did your life begin? Who gave life to you? That in and itself is a blessing that we should be acknowledging and thankful for and accountable for to God. We were created in his image to his glory. We were meant for great things. How do we know what those things are? Well, we don't without Christ in our lives. Indeed, what can we give in return for our life? I was told about an interview Steve Jobs did on his deathbed at the age of 57, dying from pancreatic cancer in 2011. You know him. He was a most powerful and influential businessman with much wealth and success, who, in his time of reflection about his life, concluded this: "There are six best doctors everyone should seek: sunlight, rest, exercise, diet, self-confidence, and friends. There are five undeniable facts of life. Number one, don't educate your children to be rich. Educate them to be happy, so when they grow up, they will know the value of things, not just the price tag. Number two, best awarded words in London: eat your food as your medicines. Otherwise, you have to eat your medicines as food. Number three, the one who loves you will never leave you for another, even if there are 100 reasons to give up. He will find one reason to hold on. Number four, there is a big difference between being a human being and being human. Only a few will really understand this. And number five, you are loved when you are born. You will be loved when you die. In between is what you have to manage." He also says, "If you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, walk together." He summarizes by saying this: "Money cannot buy happiness. The wealth comes from within yourself, from how happy you are." So again, who are we to think we can do it on our own without Christ? Who are we to think that we can ever have enough, be enough, to actually repay God for giving us life? Well, arrogant, egotistical, narcissistic, self-centered, all about me, as I like to call it, the parts of us that come out when evil is fighting with God over us. It's who we are without God in our lives. Through faith, because of God in Christ, those tendencies can be turned around and used as strengths and gifts of tenacity, endurance, clarity, focus, true grit, to instead consider being in the heart and mind of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Only in this mindset can we be authentic in doing what God has set out for us to do. How do you think God provides for the afflicted, the seekers, the criers, the poor, and the hungry? He empowers us through the gifts he has given to pay it forward, so to speak, to act on our own blessings of God. We were born with purpose, for purpose, with gifts and talents, and we are all different, thank goodness for that. We are not to live for ourselves, but for the good of others. Jesus is the ultimate example of that for us. As our Stephen often says to us, our goal as a blessed human is to be more like Jesus every day. We are not meant to be perfect, but to be perfected. This time of Lent leading up to the ultimate sacrifice of Christ for us is a time of self-reflection, self-inventory, and living in the perpetual blessings of this truth in our being. He is asking us to grow in spiritual selves through serving others and asking him for the guidance to do that. Many of us, generationally, were taught to not ask for what we might want, typically because there was just enough resources for what we needed in our households. Well, not so with Christ. Christ needs us to ask. He will bestow blessing and honor our ask to fulfill not only our needs, but our doing and praying for others, but so much more. but only when we ask. And we shouldn't ask like we're bothering him, but like Yvonne Orji says in her book called Bamboozled by Jesus, ask him to fill the big bag of asks. What are the big asks in your bag? How will you bless others because of your big asks? She's a great read, by the way. Talks about stepping out of one's comfort zone to do as God has insisted she do, despite family and cultural expectations and designations. Her life exemplifies the call to go against the grain of her culture and her family history. Her great faith, her trials of faith, and the blessings she received as a result of a pretty frank, honest, and all-in faith that led her to question how God was going to realize her passion, which he called her to. The setbacks that made her question lots about things about her purpose were real, but she never questioned her faith. Did you hear that just now? Any chance that was for you today? Let me say that one more time. We are never to question our faith. We have questioned lots of things in our lives because we all have the good, the bad, and the ugly, but we are never to question our faith. We are nothing without faith. We are mere dust. I don't know anyone who appreciates dust, but we all appreciate something like someone praying for us, bringing us homemade soup the day we get home from surgery, someone to simply hold us while we cry, a planned visit or a visit just because. We have a whole life to live our purpose as God intended. Our life of discipleship is how we give in return for the life given to us. As Steve Jobs reflects, whether we wear a $300 watch or a $30 watch, they both tell us the same time. It is time, my friends, time to urgently take this opportunity of personal inventory of happiness and reflection of your own spirituality and faith journey, and renew focus on holy things instead of human things. Recognize and count the blessings on your life and strive to give back that life to God this Lenten season in preparation for the celebration of the human sacrifice on behalf of our faith and Him not giving up on us. Amen.